In the aftermath of the Kincade Fire and multiple PG&E power shutoffs, the North Bay is in recovery mode. Joining us on the KSRO Live Line is State Senator Mike McGuire. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, good morning, Michelle. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday. So we've heard that the state and the federal government are not providing financial assistance for cleanup. Is this a surprising decision?
So the state is continuing to work on a fund called the California Disaster Assistance Fund. That would help cover 75% of the cost of cleanup, debris cleanup. There's two phases to this cleanup that folks are going to see. Phase one is getting rid of all household toxics, and that's focused on like propane tanks and gas and cleaners that you have underneath your sink. The second phase will be the debris removal. State of California is continuing to work on securing the California Disaster Assistance funding, and hopefully we'll have more to report to you next week on this issue. In addition, we have embedded State Office of Emergency Service personnel who are experts in debris removal. They've been working with the county for the greater part of a week, and we are going to be having a second conference call with the chair of the board, county administrator, and the State Office of Emergency Services on this disaster assistance funding here over the weekend. As far as a federal event, I got to tell you, Michelle, it's unfortunate, but I was not surprised that this did not hit the threshold of a presidential disaster. That's good news and bad news. The good news is we didn't have the significant structure loss. The bad news is we still had a lot. A lot of folks are suffering. Families lost everything. And that's why the state is looking at the California Disaster Assistance Fund to be able to assist with 75% cleanup costs. The 25% would have to be covered by the county of Sonoma. Mm-hmm. More to come on that, I promise you, and I hope to have more for you next week.
Okay. Well, we will check in then with you because I'm sure that there's people who are very interested in how to get some assistance in recovery efforts. Now, about response to the fire, we always try and learn and improve as we did in 2017 and we're doing now as we evaluate how things happened. How do you think that we did and what things do you think we can do to improve?
I know that there has been some frustration on evacuations. I got to say, Sheriff Essick was spot on getting the amount of folks out of the way of this fire that he did. The fire map showed significant spread and a potential jump of Highway 101, which, because of those winds, could have very easily burned into the West County, the river area, and out to the coast. That's a worst-case scenario. Here's what I'll say. Seeing what we did and what we went through, I should say, during 2017, this time we had a couple of weeks ago with the Kincade Fire, we had the luxury of time. It was almost like waiting for a hurricane. And using that time to be able to get as many people out as possible was the best move. And in fact, evacuating Healdsburg and Windsor was critically important. As we saw the valiant effort by firefighters to keep the fire out of the city proper. It was amazing to see, and it was the right move because firefighters weren't having to go door to door and fight the fire all at the same time like we saw during the 2017 firestorm.
Right.
Are there gaps still? Yes. One of the biggest gaps that I think that we need to focus in on, reliable cell phone towers. Hundreds upon hundreds of towers went down across Northern California, over 100 in Sonoma County alone, way over 150 in Marin County, and we have legislation that would mandate power backup of all cell phone sites so we don't lose cell phone connectivity during these disasters.
Yeah, and that's especially important, especially as the Nixle alerts and those kinds of push notices go to people's phones, and we all rely on our phones to give us so much information. So it is a critical part of our structure to make sure that people are prepared in an emergency.
You're absolutely right. And I think on the big picture, Michelle, look, I have all the praise in the world for the men and women at PG&E who restored the 23 customers without a gas. By the way, we're down to less than 300 in the county now without gas. We believe most of those homes are second homes. There have been multiple knocks on the door. I have all the respect in the world for the men and women who are turning the lights on. I will share with you the big picture right now for PG&E, it is clear that they lack the basic fundamentals to successfully execute such a large and complex outage. I believe that the executives of PG&E has turned this into a third world utility. And the reason why I say that is we cannot live the way we are with Pacific Gas and Electric. You look at anywhere else in the United States of America, these type of outages don't happen, and they're happening now because of the mismanagement and the lack of investment in PG&E's electrical grid. And I believe that this state is going to need to go bold, not nip around the edges, and all options need to be on the table here in the weeks and months to come. And they've become too big, and they failed us too many times. And I believe that we may actually need to break this utility up here, and that's going to be a major focus. I'll be co-chairing a committee with Senator Rubio from Los Angeles that will be focused on this issue, also focused on insurance stability, and more recommendations will be coming forward in the weeks and months to come.
There is a collection of California mayors pushing to make PG&E a cooperative. Is that something that's on the plate?
Yes, that's been talked about. Look, cooperatives have been very successful. For example, in the state of Alaska, you have a lot of rural communities that have entered into public cooperatives, run their own power company. I will just air my concern for a moment, if that's okay, Michelle.
Sure.
Look, PG&E has about $30 billion in financial liability. They have tens of billions in deferred maintenance liability. And what I'm very concerned about is we move too fast to try to take over this utility. All that liability goes onto the ratepayers and to the taxpayers and the residents of California.
Yeah.
Here's where I'd like us to be able to go. Number one, I think there needs to be two focuses. One, we can't go through another fire season like we did this year. We need to force this utility to make modernization of their grid to better pinpoint any potential outages coming up next fire season. Number two, we need to take a data-driven approach about the long-term impacts of PG&E, and I think the first has to be forcing them to modernize their grid. They are decades behind in modernization and hardening. They are decades behind in vegetation. And rather the public taking on that risk all at once right now, I think that we need to force them to be able to make the improvements that they should have made months ago. We need to hold the Public Utilities Commission accountable, to hold PG&E accountable. And so long story short, I don't think we can run into a municipalization of PG&E at this moment because of the massive liabilities that they have. I think that should be an option on the table longer term. Right now, we need to force them to improve their system, and then we evaluate all options, including potential municipalization of the utility. But I have real concern. Once we take it on, we own it all. We own the liability. We own the system that has become antiquated because of the lack of investment. And just being candid with you, that's where my concern lies.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be taken off the table, but I don't think it should be option number one at this point.
It is tough. There's, as you said, it's been decades in the making, so it's not going to be a quick fix, but hopefully as quickly as possible. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
That is our State Senator Mike McGuire here on the KSRO Live Line.